Well, good morning. Let me start this morning in prayer as we come to look at God's Word. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the way that you reveal yourself to us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, as I bring your Word to us this morning, that you might show us what you want us to understand and what you want us to see, and to see the great glory and the great truth of Jesus Christ. And we ask this for your glory's sake through your Son. Amen. Well, good morning, and may I add my welcome to you if you are new to here. My name's Tim Clay. I am the apprentice here, and I work alongside John doing music and youth work. And part of my job is to come and do all-age services and preach. Now, I wonder, okay, if you've ever been in the situation, girls and boys or adults, where you have been in the situation where you have won something, or you're part of the winning team, or you've played really, really well in a game, or you've just got a job promotion, you've just got a pay rise, or you've just got a new job, and you're thinking, brilliant, and you tell all your friends, and all the people around you are supporting you in your sports match, and the next thing you know is they're singing praises about somebody else. You're at work and they're saying, oh, did you hear about Paul? Oh, don't worry about you. Paul got a new job the other day. He's brilliant. He's now the CEO of a new company. Or Sam played so well today, and you've just been completely ignored, completely put to one side. And that's a little bit like what we're going to look at today. But actually, there is some great truth in why that has happened. Now, in the first part of our reading, which Emily brought to us, we hear the birth of John the Baptist and how he was named John. And right back in the beginning of Luke, we see in verse 13 how the angel Gabriel has come to Zechariah and said to him that his wife, Elizabeth, is going to be pregnant and that he's to name the child John. But Zechariah doesn't believe back in verse 20. And so the angel Gabriel says that he will be struck dumb. So that means he won't be able to speak until the prophecy comes through, until the child is born. Now, I don't know about you, but not speaking for 9 months might be quite difficult. But he and Elizabeth are faithful in the end and does what God commands of them. And they name the son John. And because of Zechariah's faithfulness, and because Zechariah names the son John, he's able to speak. He's able to speak after 9 months. Now, children and adults alike, put your hand up if you think if you could do a sponsored silence for 9 months. I thought as much. Let's say 5 months. A month, 2 weeks, a week, 4 days. 4 days, I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to see if you can do that. A day. There's a few hands, a day. Sponsor science for a day. To be honest with you, I don't think I could get past about half an hour, if I'm quite honest. I have quite a lot to say, and my wife will tell you that. But it's the fact that he's gone from unbelieving to believing. Zechariah has gone from not believing what the angel Gabriel said to believing. And so because of this pregnancy and because they've done what they've been asked, he can now speak. And they're there 8 days after the birth, circumcising their son. And because of his faithfulness in saying that this child is to be named John, Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see that in verse 6-7. It says, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Now, you can imagine they're sitting there and this is like, what is going on? All of a sudden, there's our child. He's just been born and you're going off on one. Now, let's read together. I'll read out. But from 68 to 69, it says this, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said, though, on his holy prophets of long ago. Now, this must be sinking now. Well, what's going on? Hang on a second. You haven't spoken in 9 months. Not to me, not to anyone. You haven't said a single word because you didn't believe. And you can speak and you completely ignore the fact that your son has been born 8 days ago and you've just named him. And all you've got to say is about someone that hasn't even been born yet. 9 months. I'm sure Lizzie would be furious if we had a child and I hadn't spoken for 9 months and then started speaking about some other kid that had just come into the world or not even arrived. But he's the first person he talks about. You know, not friends and family, not loved ones, not about his son, but he talks about someone else. You know, and Elizabeth must be sitting there, well, who is this person? Who is this horn of Israel? Who is from this line of David? Well, it's certainly not our son, that's for sure. Well, back in those days, just so we understand, horn represents strength. Saying that God has risen up someone who is powerful and strong from the house of David, from the line of David. You know, this is still sitting there and said, this is not our son, so why are you praising this unborn child? You know, your son's here, talk about him, not somebody else. And then he says this in 71 to 73. As he said, for those holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. He just keeps on going. He doesn't stop. It's not just like, oh yeah, I'm just going to talk about this person for a while. He just carries on. He's overwhelmed with this joy to speak about this unborn child. Now, who do we think that unborn child might be? And it's a pretty obvious question, so I'm just going to carry on, but I'm sure you'll know who it is. Well, it's Jesus. Even though Jesus has not been born yet, Zechariah is praising his name, praising God for this solid, faithful, strong man from the line of David who will save us from our enemies and show mercy. Zechariah is so caught up in God, so caught up in God, and having been filled with the Holy Spirit, he's just overjoyed with the fact that God has sent someone to save us, to redeem us. He is bowled over, and that to him is more important than barking on about his son that's there, just been born 8 days earlier. Zechariah is focusing and singing praises to God, to the unborn Christ, giving thanks that God has sent himself in human form to be with us. Now, I'm going to ask a question. Are we like that? Are we like that? I know I don't have any children, but mums and dads, do we not want to be the same? Do we not want to be, if we are Christians here today, filled with the Holy Spirit, do we not want to be caught up in God? Do we not want to be caught up in Jesus and singing praises to his name? Do we not want that to be the most important thing in our lives? Focusing on Christ, giving our all to him. Now, that's not to say that we neglect our children and we put them to one side and we don't build them up and we don't focus on them and we don't give them attention. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, surely we should be singing praises to his name. And the same goes for us kids. Well, not us kids, but for children as well. Do we not want to see our parents doing that? I know it's great to be center of attention. I was a child once, and I was a nightmare. And for me to get attention meant setting my room on fire, or cutting the cat's whiskers off, or doing something stupid so I would be the center of attention. And I'm not lying. You can ask my mum and dad about the cat's whiskers. I kid you not. But do we not, as children of our mums and dads, want to see them focusing and reveling in Jesus and on God, so that they might be able to teach us more about him? And do not we want to be focused on that as well? It's great to be the centre of attention of a sports team. But actually, who are we serving in that? It's great to be a centre of attention in a classroom. But who are we serving in that? Are we focusing on God? Are we filled with the Holy Spirit and reveling in that good news? Now, be honest here. Who here watches X Factor? Come on, stick them up. Who here watches X Factor? I'm sure there's more than that, but anyway. Last night, I'm going to admit it, Lizzie and I watched X Factor. It's the final, the big finals tonight, but last night was the first night in Wembley Arena. Absolutely amazing. And just for you that don't know, it's Little Mix and Marcus Collins in the final tonight. And Amelia Lilly went home last night. But who knows Dermot O'Leary? Stick your hand up if you know Dermot O'Leary, who he is. He's a very dapper young man, very engaging, very excitable. And at the beginning of X Factor every week, and particularly last night was fantastic, Dermot comes on stage, and he came on in a taxi, like a proper black cab last night, comes on stage with all this fancy stuff going on, and he builds up the crowd, he builds up the audience so they're screaming. And he goes, Britain, Saturday night starts here, your weekend starts here. And then he does the big introduction of the big four judges. He builds them up, he introduces, he lays the way for the judges as they come on. Now in the same way, Zechariah speaks about this in his song, but about his son. So let's look at 76 to 77. And he says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Do you see how amazing a role John is going to have? He's not going to be some X-Factor judge that he's going to be introducing, or some Strictly Come Dancing stars, or Bruce Forsyth. John is going to be preparing the way for the Lord our God, for Jesus. The God of the Old Testament is coming. Fully human, fully God. And that's John's role, to prepare his people for Jesus, for their salvation, so their rescue and the forgiveness of their sins, and prepare them for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he's about to teach. I mean, what a job, what a privileged job. And Zechariah is like, woohoo! My son has got the top dollar job of all things to do. He is going to be bringing the people and preparing the way for the Lord Jesus, for the Old Testament God that is coming and is faithful. That's how important John's role is. That's another reason why Zechariah is singing, because he's so proud. And this moves us on to the second part of our talk this morning. So he will save us from our sins and many others. Now, who here likes the dark? Does anyone love the dark? Who here hates the dark? Yeah. Now, when I was younger, I did Duke of Edinburgh, and I was doing my bronze award. And you go and do a night hike. Now, me being me, my mind wanders quite quickly. I get distracted by things, and I lost the group in the middle of the night hike, and I stupidly didn't have a torch on me. So there I am, I'm standing in the foothills of Snowdon, in the pitch black, haven't got a clue where I am, the group's gone. But fortunately for me, my leader came back over the top of the hill, and this torch beam came over the top of the hill in the pitch black. And I'd been found, and I'd been rescued in a way. And in the same way, Zechariah is talking about Jesus in this way, about Jesus our rescuer, like my leader. He is the one that is going to come and save us from our sins. He is the one that will take the burden of them on the cross. He is the one that is going to take God's wrath and punishment. And he will be like the rising sun. And he will touch all of those in darkness. Who here has ever seen a sunset? A sunrise even, sorry. Can you imagine that picture now? When the sun breaks up over the horizon and the bright rays of sunlight start to touch everything that has been in darkness. And it keeps coming and that picture keeps building and everything that has been in darkness is covered in light. That's what's going to happen. Jesus, in the same way as our rescuer, is going to be that light. And his light is going to pour out to those in the darkness, just like the rising sun. He will touch all of those in the shadows of death. And he will lead their feet into a path of righteousness and peace. And that's what it says it there. To shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to go. You know, John had an amazing job. And it says in our last verse that he went on to speak publicly, full of the Spirit, of Jesus coming and his rescue. But he isn't the only one that can tell of that good news. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7, verse 24 to 28. And I'm just going to read that out. And it says this. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed in the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those to wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in places. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you. And more than a prophet, this is the one whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way before you. I tell you, those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, John couldn't tell the whole story. Yes, he prepared the way for Jesus when he started to teach, but John wasn't there for Christ's death. John wasn't there for Christ's resurrection. And John wasn't there for his ascension. And he wasn't there for the Great Commission. He wasn't there to be told to go out and make disciples of people of all nations. He could never pass on the full story. But we can. Isn't that a joy to know that we can pass on the great news of Jesus? That we can tell people of the great joy of Jesus' birth, life, and death for us. You know, to many people and to non-Christians, the cross is a foolish thing. Someone dying for us on a cross is a foolish thing to them, and they don't understand that it is God's love. That it is Jesus taking God's punishment for us and his wrath. That Jesus was sent, he was born to die. That was his job. He was born to come and die in place of us for our sins. So that whole idea of the light coming into the world, that Jesus is the light shining in the darkness, is because of this. We can tell that story. We can pass the message on that John could never do. Yes, John was a great man and he was a great prophet and he prepared the way. But he never had the opportunity to tell those that had yet to hear the good news. That Jesus came to save us from our sins. That's what Jesus' life about, and his birth and death. The king who came to save. We have so many opportunities at this time of year, being Christmas. It's an ideal opportunity. Christmas gets so overrun in presents, food, family. And unfortunately, Jesus gets to push to one side. And people don't really realize that a king has come to save us. So adults, are we going to be bold and step out in faith and sing praises of God and of Christ and of the good things he's done and invite our friends to the live nativity? Tell them about Christianity Explored and the opportunities to come and hear the good news of Christ. Are we going to stand firm and sing praises like Zechariah? Do we want, is it our passion for our friends and family to come and know Christ? Do we want to be filled in the Holy Spirit the same way Zechariah was and sing his praises? And the great thing is, if we are following in Jesus and we do trust in him, we are guaranteed the help of the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And by that, we will be strengthened. We will have determination and courage to do it, not on our own standing, but in Christ. And it's the same for you children as well. And teenagers, it is only through Jesus that we have the courage to stand firm, to invite our friends to these things. And at school, we can stand firm and sing praises in all that we do. We don't have to be number one. We don't have to be the center of attention. But in loving Jesus, that is the way forward for us. And that's where the glory comes, in knowing Christ and eternal salvation. So my question to you, everyone, is, this Christmas, are we going to be wrapped up in ourselves? Are we going to be wrapped up in all the presents and all the good food that we have? Do enjoy it. Or are we going to be wrapped up in God and singing his praises and singing the praises of the Lamb that was sent, like Zechariah was? Are we going to put God first in our lives and Jesus first in our lives, so that we can tell of that great rescue, of the birth of a king who came to save, who was born to die? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way that you changed Zechariah. Thank you from him going from unbelieving to believing. And thank you for the sending of your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his birth. Thank you that he was sent to us as a savior, that he was you in fully human form. And we give great thanks for this. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be bold and faithful to you and singing praises and reveling in your glory, knowing that you sent us the greatest gift of all, so that we might be free from our sin and serving a life in Christ. Amen.